Thales of Miletus, considered one of the seven wise men of Greece, who lived centuries before Christ and fully 25 centuries before our modern psychiatry and psychology, was once asked, "What is most difficult?" His reply was, "To know thyself." In his book, Spiritual Secrets of a Trappist Monk, Father Raymond mentions how recently several hundred average Americans were stopped on the street, visited their homes, confronted in their offices or other places of employment, and asked to help out in a survey that was being conducted by some university psychologists. These people were handed a plain sheet of paper, then told that they would be rendering a real service if they would write on the paper three replies to a very simple question. It was, "Who are you? Who are you?" You may think it is an easy question, but it is not. In fact, nothing more personal could be ever asked, nor anything more important. It is one of the most penetrating questions you will ever face, one of the most difficult you will ever attempt to answer. This question searches, as God is said to search, the deepest secret of your being. Father Raymond said, when asked, "Who are you?" most people gasp. Some started stuttering. "Who am I?" Some responded, "This is the queerest question I ever heard." "Who am I?" wrote one man. "Why? I don't know. I see myself a little inferior to others. I guess I am something put on this earth to make it a better place for those who come after me." Another did, somewhat better. "I am a soul gaining the experiences of mortality," was his first response. "I am a person progressing with an ultimate goal in mind, but not progressing as rapidly as I desire," was his second question. His third answer read, "I am an individual getting an awful lot of fun out of life." One person simply stared from the paper to the investigator, then back to the paper again. Finally, while scratching his head, he said, "Who am I? I never asked myself that question before. It kind of stops me. I guess I don't know who I am, except that I am kind of all mixed up. I feel alone, all by myself, and that most people have it in for me. I feel like I got a hole tight to everything I got, or someday someone will take it away from me." When he noted that the investigator was busy writing, jotting all this down, he grew excited and cried, "You're writing all that down?" He ripped the top page of the investigator's book and fled. From an office came these three replies. "I am an architect. I design office buildings. I am 45 years old." It was a simple housewife who gave the psychologists what they claim is the best revelation of a person fully aware of herself. consequently quite intimately acquainted with herself, and therefore one who most likely would be herself and thus know happiness. Her reply ran like this: I am Mary N. I am me. I am myself. Inadequate as that sounds, it certainly was better than the ones already quoted, and far better than what the man offered who gave his street address, his army serial number, and his social security number. The man seemed to consider himself only a number. But you might be wondering why the psychologists could ever come to such conclusions about Mary Ann from almost meaningless replies that she gave. Looking at the replies of the housewife, the psychologist saw that uppermost in her consciousness was the fact that she was herself. This indicated that she was quite well acquainted with what it was that made her Mary so and so and nobody else. Hence, she really knew something of her inner drives, impulses, urges, and desires. Consequently, she was able to express herself outwardly with ease and adequacy. The truth is that psychology have come a very long way to understand man. I can tell you a startling amount about you. However, it cannot tell you of you. Father Raymond, quoting Dr. Carl Stern, says, "Clinical concepts lose significance when we enter the life of the spirit." In one place, Dr. Carl admitted, "Psychiatry and psychoanalysis are unable to penetrate the mystery of the person. The question, who are you, is beyond the psychological. All what this specialist of psychology can attempt to tell you is your psychological personality. And that is something distinctly different from telling you anything about yourself as an ontological person." Father Raymond rightly argued that the branch of knowledge that can ever properly reply this question, who are you, is theology. A theology that teaches that each of us is a child of God, who under God's loving guidance and with God's generous help is working out a God-given destiny. Thus, the best that can be given to the question, who are you, came from the human reason illumined by faith. I am a child of God. It is a reply that comes from those who are wise, with a wisdom that teaches that life is not something, but someone created in God's image and likeness. I love to have fun with this in the confessional. It's amazing. Says, I always ask a student, who are you? There's always a box of Kleenex next to me. They say, if it's the ladies, I just reach out, because they cannot figure out who they are. I say, if you don't know who you are, you have no purpose in life. I says, please do me a favor, seek that question. It's amazing how they come back to me and says, Father, thank you for asking that question. I now have a meaning in my life. In today's gospel reading, Jesus contrasted intellectual pride with childlike simplicity and humility. The childlike, in the sense, see purely without pretense or any falsehood and acknowledge their dependence and trust in one who is greater, wiser, and more trustworthy. They seek one thing, the summum bonum, or the greatest good, who is God himself. The childlike is wedded with humility. This virtue of humility is the queen of virtues because it is the only soil in which the grace of God can take root. and other virtues can grow and blossom. Humility alone takes the right attitude before God and allows him as God to do all. Now, very often, you know, people always come and complain, oh, you know, Father, I've loved crosses to carry. I can't stand him. I can't stand her, blah, blah, blah. I says, be humble. Do you know where that word comes from? It's a Latin word, humus, dirt. Guess what? If they throw things at you, think of that soil. The dogs do their stuff on soil. What does the soil do? They absorb it as manure. So whatever crap, pardon my language, is thrown at you, is good manure for your soul. Because it fertilizes you to grow in virtues. You get the point, right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The grace of Christ-like humility inclines us towards God and disposes us to receive his wisdom and help. It enables us to live in the present moment and to have our security rooted firmly in the fidelity of the love of God, to be open, to be taught, to trust God in all things, and surrender oneself to God in all situations. Saint Teresa of Lisieux, whom Pope Pius XI called the greatest saint of modern times, and whom Saint John Paul II the Great declared a doctor of the church, taught a way of spiritual childhood. This is not just some kind of childish or devotional attitude. It is about transforming ourselves into Christ, in whose image we are made and who dwells in us by grace. For it took Jesus, childlike, meek, and humble of heart, innocent and wise, to reveal the mysteries of who we are and what we are here for. Who are we? A beloved child of God. What are we here for? To be great saints. What must I do? To strive to become holy. How? By following the will of God. And what is the will of God for me? To participate in the life of Christ. That is to say, we participate in his sonship. The more we live as God's children, the greater is our similarity and identification with Jesus. From this deepest truth is born the desire to imitate Christ. Divine filiation spurs us to emulate the words and the deeds of the only begotten Son of God. If we often consider the truth that I am God's child, prayer will become the trusting conversation of a child with his father, who understands and heeds his needy children. He will talk to God about what occupies our mind and in our heart, our joys, sorrows, hopes, annoyances, successes, failures, even the most trivial happenings in our day. We will discover that, as children, the Heavenly Father is interested in everything about us and desires we resemble his only begotten Son. The more closely we resemble Christ, the more childlike we become. The more we belong to Christ, the holier we are. Like a student before the teacher, like a child learning from his mother, so a child of God should be before God. A child learns to speak by listening to his mother, trying to echo her words. Similarly, by watching Jesus, we learn to behave like him, listening to his mother Mary. We best acquire Jesus' childlikeness towards Mary by faithfully and devoutly meditating on his virtues as we pray the rosary. This makes the rosary a Marian school of childlike formation. In this school, Mary is our guide. She is our teacher. She sees Jesus in each Christian, in every person. Thanks to her most special relationship with Christ, she spreads her motherhood over us, which consists of contributing to the restoration of supernatural life in souls. And as St. John Paul II the Great stated, With the rosary, the Christian people sit at the school of Mary and is led to contemplate the beauty of the face of Christ and to experience the depths of his love. It is thanks to her fear at the Annunciation that Jesus has now become our brother and Mary our mother in order of grace. She was given to us by her Son as one of the final acts of his earthly life. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." John brought Mary into his home, into his life. Spiritual writers have seen these words of the gospel as an invitation to all Christians to bring Mary into their own lives. Mary certainly wants us to invoke her, to approach her with confidence, to appeal to her as our mother, asking questions about her own son, Jesus Christ. The great 20th century apostle of the Rosary, Bartolo Longo, who was, during his time, became an ordained satanic priest, and eventually through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, he was converted, and he built this shrine in Pompeii called Our Lady of Pompeii to propagate her rosary. This is what he said: "The rosary is a seat upon which Mary sits as teacher, to teach us the way by which we can attain life." He wrote, "Come, children, listen to me," Mary says. "Come to the school of my rosary, and I shall teach you holy love and the short and the sure way to arrive to heaven." As Monsignor Forion humorously puts in his insightful book, The School of Mary, he said, "The diploma that can be obtained in the school of Jesus' mother is the sanctity, that means of life, following or better, imitating Christ." If Jesus' life is our life and his mother our mother, then it simply makes sense to imitate his filial love towards her. We are not only to imitate him as disciples imitate their master, for he is more than a model placed before us. He is an interior principle of life. Didn't he tell us, I am the vine and you are the branches? The same sap circulating in the stalk of the vine circulates in the branches. He also said, "I am the head, you are a member of my mystical body." The selfsame blood flowing in the head flows in the members. When we are pure, it is him who is pure in us. When we are patient, it is him who is patient in us. When we practice charity, it is him who practices charity in us. When we suffer, it is him who suffers in us. When we live life, it is no longer us who lives. It is Jesus who lives within us. When we love his mother, no, it is no longer us who loves her. It is him who loves her in us. When we pray the rosary, he prays with us, prays for us, and we begin to acquire his love for his mother. It is for this reason the rosary is a means by which we imitate Jesus' sonship as he relates to his mother Mary. In his book, My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, Father Newbert suggests ways to imitate Jesus' sonship towards Mary. First, he says, to imitate Jesus, give yourself to his mother without reserve. By becoming the Son of Mary, he gave himself entirely to her. He willed from eternity, out of love, to belong to Mary and to depend upon her. He willed to belong to her by the most intimate ties there are, the ties of blood, which nothing can dissolve. He will always yield to all her maternal desires with perfect filial love. Following his example, give yourself as a well-beloved child to his mother entirely, unreservedly, and forever. Give your body and its manifold activities, your soul, all its powers. Give her all your possessions, material and spiritual, natural and supernatural. Give her all that you are and all that you will be, all that you have and all that you will have, all that you do and all that you will do. Let there be no interior or exterior possession of yours which does not belong to her. Secondly, to imitate Jesus, love his mother. It is love which made him the son of Mary. Everything in his relations with her is explained by love. If you wish to understand his filial piety towards her, you must above all understand his love for her. Oh, how he longs to communicate to you a little of that love for his mother which burns in our heart. I'll tell you a story. I don't think I've ever shared this. My mom, God bless her, she just passed away last year. She was a Baptist. And when we were growing up, one Sunday, we go to the Baptist church. The other Sunday, we go to the Catholic church. And my father, who was raised in the Catholic church, went to Catholic school, when I was growing up, never set foot to the church. He required us to go to the church. So one day, we never prayed the rosary at home. So my mom was Baptist, so her and Mary, no, they don't see eye to eye. So one day she just said, okay, I think you guys should start going to the Catholic church. So we started going, and then went to the high school. I went to a boarding school, it's a high school minor seminary. So the next year I came back, and I came back with a long vacation. All of a sudden, my dad was like, oh, gather around here, it's time for us to pray. I'm like, what the heck just happened to this house? Did I hear time for us to pray? He says, yeah, it's time for us to pray. I'm like, why? I've never seen you in church. Why are you asking us to pray? Eventually, I came to know why. My mom claims that once she was having a siesta because we follow the European system. So in the afternoon, we come back home, have siesta, and then go back to work. So she was lying on the couch. Then all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to her. He says, Veronica, do you love me? She went on her knees and says, Lord, you know all my life. I've given my life to you. He says, if you truly love me, waved his hands like this. Our Lady appeared and says, work with her. Let me say, since that day, if you insult Mary, like a tigress, she'll come after you. Then the next thing I realized, people started coming to our house. She says, where's your mom? I'm like, why do you need my mom? She says, well, we want her to pray for us. I'm like, what is going on? Then the next thing, she'll get up at 11 p.m., going on picking up crazy people on the streets. I'm like, what the heck? But thanks be to God, because they introduced the rosary in our house. I was able to listen to God's voice to become a priest. So strive to make yourself a pure, humble, and generous. Be generous with your time. Now my dad, his faith is like on crack. He goes to Mass every day. Every day. Prays the rosary every day. He's now become a lay Dominican back home. The power of the rosary. So each time you pray the rosary with faith and devotion, try to sense special love that Mary has for you. She loves you because her son has loved you, even at the point of dying for you. In fact, she simply loves you because Jesus loves you. As Father Emil Newbert tells us, Mary loves you because every mother loves that child most who caused her pain, and you have caused her indescribable suffering. She loves you because you and Jesus are one in her eyes. and because in loving you, she loves him. Thirdly, to imitate Jesus, obey his mother. Do you wish to manifest your love for Jesus' mother and he manifested as he manifested his? Be obedient then as he was. As a little baby, he let her do with him what she wished. Reflected on the joyful mystery of the rosary, you learn that Jesus allowed himself to be put in the crib, carried in her arms, nursed and dressed by her, taken by her to Jerusalem, to Egypt, to Nazareth. After astonishing the doctors in the temple, he returned to Nazareth with his mother and was subject to her. Until the age of 30, he stayed with her and always deferred to her last wishes. He obeyed her in all simplicity, for although he was her God, he was always her son. In all simplicity, she gave her commands, directed him, ineffably happy to see him attentive to her smallest wish. Obedience is one of the key virtues you have to learn from Mary when meditating on the mysteries. That is who she is. Before you pick up that rosary to pray, ask for the grace to listen to Mary. Listen to her with Christ-like docility and obey her with love, even as Jesus was subject to her with an infinite love. To imitate Jesus, resemble his mother. Jesus resembled his mother more than a child of a man resembling his mother. Born of her alone, his features, his looks, his walks, his gestures, his whole exterior recalled his virginal mother. Whoever saw him recognized him at once as the son of Mary. One day I was hearing confession at Purdue at St. Thomas. This lady came and she was confessing her sins. And all of a sudden I was like, I've seen this lady somewhere. Do I know her? I've seen this attitude, the way she talks, the way she gesticulates. They'll say, okay, excuse me, do you happen to have a daughter here? She says, yeah, how do you know? Because I see her in you, that's why. But that's what we do when we pray the rosary. It's always amazing, especially when women come and they struggle with their mothers and want to grow devotion to Mary. I always introduce Mary to them. I says, I have to warn you, in 6 months, you will change. I say, okay. Then in 6 months, they come, Father, oh my God, now my house is full of things. I don't need it. Now, I feel like just simply. I was like, that's her. That's our lady. She wants you to be modest, to be simple, to be obedient. I mean, your attitude begins to change. She is a very demanding mother. She wants perfection. Greater still than their physical resemblance, that means Jesus and Mary, was the resemblance between their souls. As Father Emile writes in his book, Jesus' heavenly Father modeled Mary according to his likeness in order that, like a true mother, she might form him according to her likeness. And by constantly applying herself to observe Jesus, to ponder in her heart all that he did and said, she succeeded in reproducing all his dispositions with incomparable perfection. In every matter, they had the same thoughts, the same sentiments, the same will. Her spirit had passed into him and his spirit into her. Aren't we asked to follow Jesus' example by resembling his own mother, Mary, in all her virtues, disposition, sentiment, and even prayer life? How else can we acquire this resemblance but through the meditation of the mysteries of the rosary? Like the saints before us who had devotion to Mary, when praying the rosary, you and I begin to resemble her exteriorly by her modesty, resemble her above all interiorly by her humility, purity, self-abandonment to God's will, gentleness and love. Pondering the mysteries of the rosary, We imitate above all her disposition towards Jesus. To imitate Jesus, lastly, have confidence in his mother. Every child has confidence in his mother, and Satan hates that. Just more than a month ago, a student came to my office and wanted me to bless her house. She says her house was haunted. I never used to believe in that, but I can tell you 6 or 7 stories while I was here, and even at Purdue. So I said, how many of you are living in that house? She says, what, 5 of us. But she says, I've not experienced anything unusual, but the other 4 girls have experienced something. I said, okay, I'm going to come. So I went, and they were all there. So I interviewed them, and they said, one of the girls said, differently, she says, there's a young girl in this house that calls that name. I'm like, what? She says, yeah. And one of the girls said, she went to bed one night, this young girl called her name, and she opened her eyes. There was this young girl, blonde girl, looking at her like that. So why am I telling you this story? The young girl who asked me to come and bless the house never saw this, experienced this, because she had devotion to Mary. Went to her room, crucifix, a little of Guadalupe, and I told her friends, I said, you see, that is why. I can bless this house, there's no problem, I can cleanse it. But if your life is not in right order, if you don't have confidence in Our Lady, in God, this means nothing. Jesus himself had supreme confidence in his beloved mother. He trusted in her for his material needs. She nourished him, clothed him, and took care of him. In the same manner, we should ask the grace from Jesus when meditating on the rosary to follow his example and trust his own mother and have confidence. Why? Because she is all-powerful. She is goodness itself and all-merciful. Jesus made her the distributrix of all graces. That is why she is able to give all she wishes to whomever she wishes, and at the same time, she wishes. Have confidence in giving to you what you have asked through the Holy Rosary. It is to Jesus that she gives, for she knows that he lives in you, and whatever is done to the least of his brothers is done to him. When you invoke her, you give her the joy of continuing to take care of Jesus, to nourish, carry, shield, and raise him in you. Have confidence. She desires to give you more than you desire to receive, because she loves you more and loves Jesus in you more than you can ever love yourself. How beautiful is that? Have confidence, because you would grieve her by hesitating, because hesitation implies doubt to Jesus' mother's love for you and for him. Lastly, to imitate Jesus, let us live united with his mother. We can only do that if we're united with Jesus himself. So, my brothers and sisters, you are a child of God. To learn to be a child is to study Jesus' child, Jesus Christ. Let us ask Our Lady to give us the grace to reflect all the attributes of Jesus in our own life.